This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. It's two more years for Tony McEntee as Sligo senior football manager. It's Monaghan for former Leitrim boss Andy Mourne. He's part of the new management team under Gabriel Bannigan in the Farney County. Four Masters GA club get on their bikes to help fund a new look Cheer Connell Park in Donegal Town. Can Sligo Rovers upset the holders in Sunday's Women's FAI Cup semi-final? Sligo County Council lauds its Olympians and Paralympians. And this weekend's National Surfing Championships in Bundoran have been postponed because the weather's too good. If you're into swells and forecasts, you'll know what I'm talking about. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details by WhatsApp and text. 083 3500 530 by email. The address sport@oceanfm.ie. And on X or Twitter, you'll get us at Ocean FM Sport right now. Also coming up, Sligo's minor Gaelic football manager this year, Stephen Henry, has a new project in flow at the moment as part of his role with the Gaelic Players Association. The Turlestrand native is joining about 50 intercounty footballers and hurlers in Kenya this November to help plant trees with Warriors for Humanity and Self Help Africa. And to raise some cash for this worthy cause, Stephen has set himself a little challenge with a football on his home pitch in Turlestrand in South Sligo this weekend. We'll hear more about that later. Plus, instead of history, geography, Othello and quadratic equations, school lessons tomorrow in Caloche, the Columkill and Ballyshannon will be a little different. They'll include Unihoc, Petanque, Gaelic football and Frisbee. Now that's my kind of school curriculum. We'll hear all about that and the Erasmus Plus Mini Olympics, which the school is hosting for 9 feeder schools tomorrow a little bit later on. But first on the programme, the 2024 Ocean FM Sports Awards are coming your way soon. Returning to the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Sligo on Saturday the 16th of November. The awards will once again celebrate local sporting achievement and contribution across Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim during 2024. The Ocean FM Hall of Fame Award will also acknowledge the recipient's lifetime contribution within the sporting domain. There are 15 award categories this year, and they are Ocean FM Club of the Year, Coach of the Year, an International Award, the Hall of Fame Award we've just referred to, Sports Volunteer, School of the Year, School Teacher of the Year. The Red Oak Award will celebrate the achievements for Young Sports People of the Year. There'll be a Male Sports Person of the Year Award, a Female Sports Person of the Year Award. There'll be a Special Achievement Award, a Sports Moment of the Year, which is a moment on Ocean FM voted by our listeners, which caught their imagination during 2024. We'll also present a Diversity and Inclusion Award and, of course, the Overall Sports Personality of the Year Award. And we need your help to whittle the nominees down to shortlists and to pick our eventual winners. We're inviting you now to submit your choices for consideration for any one of the 15 categories online on oceanfm.ie. On the homepage, look for the sport drop-down menu and you'll see the form that you can fill in and select your choices for the 2024 Ocean FM Sports Awards. They're coming your way this November. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. Now, this weekend's Irish National Surfing Championships in Bundoran have been postponed because of a very poor swell forecast. While surfing conditions have been ideal at the Donegal venue in the early part of this week, that's about to change on account of the current band of high pressure rolling in. Event organisers have opted instead to reschedule the Nationals for November the 9th and 10th in Portrush in County Antrim. The Championship Director, Gavin McCrae, has been explaining that decision today to Ocean FM Sport.
We've had a really good run of surf this week with the high pressure sitting and a low, keeping the swell kind of out over the ocean. But as the week's progressed, the swell has gotten smaller and smaller. And we've been monitoring the forecast as well coming for the weekend. And unfortunately, with the high pressure, we tend to lose swell then as it carries on. And it's going to drop right off by Saturday and Sunday. So there's going to be a very, very small swell, like as in under a foot, at least the forecast for Saturday and Sunday. And it's very weak at that point. It's kind of dissipated from the strength that it had earlier in the week. So because it's the Nationals, the senior Nationals, we wanted to give the surfers the best opportunity and the best conditions, but like anything under a foot is not ideal for running a national contest, unfortunately.
And you've rescheduled the championships for November in Portrush. Why the change of venue?
We've rescheduled for Portrush in November because of the time of year. They're more likely to get waves. And we also would really like to just give Portrush the opportunity to have an event such as the Nationals, because we haven't had one up there in a long time. So it's just a nice opportunity to give the community up there a good event, a strong event with a variety of categories and divisions as well. So there is a strong surf community up there, so we're trying to give them something back as well. If Portrush is flat at that time of year, we do have a backup location of Bundoran again as well to fall back on.
And one final thought, Gavin, while this might be disappointing news for surfing fans looking to watch the country's best surfers this weekend, it's probably good news for one Sligo surfer, Gáirge McDade, who's recovering from injury, so he gets more time to get himself ready for the Nationals.
Yes, Gáirge was going to miss out. And fortunately for him, I suppose the swell gods have kind of played into his hands. He was looking for the opportunity to take a seventh national title. And he'll still get that opportunity in Portrush as well, but I think he wants to match it back-to-back. He was out of contention and still is, and he doesn't get his stitches out of his injury until next week, I think. So, he's probably delighted that it's been cancelled. I'm sure he's been watching this well forecast and wishing that it would be flat as well.
And all is not lost, Gavin, in terms of local activity this weekend, because there is a local event happening on Sunday.
Yes, Liquid Therapy, the inclusive surf club, surf school in Rosmarla, are having their open event, the Liquid Therapy Open in Rosmarla in Donegal on Sunday. So that's like an opportunity for all those kids that wouldn't normally compete in the junior tour that we have. So they have a nice fun day at the beach, and it kind of wraps up their inclusive program from across the summer, where they've introduced loads and loads of kids from around the county and the country as well to the joy of surfing. So they're going to get a chance to enjoy the small waves on Rosmarla Beach on Sunday.
And speaking of developing surfers, Irish Surfing recently announced that it's going to hold a first ever schools surfing championship next month in October. Can you give us a beginner's guide to that?
Yeah, so the school championships, it's the first time we're going to host it. We've kind of been trying to sort out how we're going to run it. And what it is, it's going to be all the kids, all the schools across Ireland, north and south. It's going to give them an opportunity to get some silverware or some medals for their schools. Normally we run the contest on age divisions, but the schools event is slightly different. So it's going to be run on junior cert and leaving cert. So in that respect, it's slightly different. So there'd be different ages surfing against each other as opposed to surfing within their age category. And it's going to be for individuals and for schools. So an individual can get a title, and then a school can also get a title as well. So we encourage all the kids to enter that as well. And that's going to take place in Eastkey and Sligo at the end of October.
Can secondary schools express an interest in registering for the event? How does that work?
So on Irish Surfing website, irishsurfing.ie, there is an entrance. It's open for entry up there. And if they want to contact info with Irish Surfing as well, we've sent out a press release and some info to all the schools as well involved. So we'd probably see it that there'd be a lot of parents and PE teachers as well would probably help get the kids registered into the competition. But it should be as straightforward. It's going on to irishsurfing.ie/events. And then they'll find the event there and they can register for it there.
Gavin McRae, Operations Director with Irish Surfing and the National Senior Surfing Championship, speaking about today's postponement of this weekend's finals in Bundoran. They're rescheduled for November in Portrush in County Antrim, and look out for those inaugural school surfing championships for secondary schools coming to Eastkey next month. Well, this is FAI Cup semi-final week in soccer, and a big week for Sligo Rovers for the second season in a row. The club's women's team are through to the last four of the Premier Cup competition in women's football. This Sunday, they will host the current FAI Cup holders, Athlone Town, at the Showgrounds. Rovers are managed this season by Tommy Hewitt, and they've been finding the going tough in the league. They're currently bottom of the table, which is 4 points, and they're still looking for their first league win. But they've made it through to the last four of the competition. We'll hear from the Rovers gaffer in just a moment. But first, let's hear from one of the returning players last weekend in Dublin when Rovers carved out a 1-1 draw away to Shamrock Rovers. It was Emma Hansbury's first start since last April.
Firstly, I'm just delighted to be back playing with Rovers again. It was a long few months, obviously, being out with injury. So I was just dying to get back on the pitch with the girls. And I think the draw that we got there at the weekend was probably a build-up over good performances or putting in good spells over the last few weeks. So I do think we deserved a draw against Sham Saturday, and it probably came at a good time as well.
I remember when you joined the inaugural Rovers team a couple of seasons ago, you did say to us, if I can stay fit, I can contribute. Is it the same old injury that's still rearing up now and again?
No, unfortunately, this was just a different injury that just bad time and bad things that just happened, yeah. I guess. So it's not the usual ankle injury that's kept me out the last couple of seasons, but we're back now anyways and getting fit again, and hopefully can contribute to something on Sunday against Athlone.
And back just in time for an FAI Cup semi-final.
Yeah, it's exciting, yeah. Second one in a row for Sligo Rovers, so it's going to be an exciting weekend, and hopefully we can do one better this year and get a win out of it against Athlone, who beat us here last year.
I know the league hasn't been a happy hunting ground so far, but it doesn't seem to have damaged morale too much, or has it? You've made the last four of the Premier Cup competition.
Yeah, it's tough, obviously. We're not where we wanted to be. If we said at the start of the season we were going to be at the bottom of the table at this stage, we would have been obviously very disappointed. We just got hit during the season with a lot of injuries, and that didn't go away. Obviously we had a few players that left and went to different clubs. We lost some experience along the way, so it is tough. It's definitely tough to get yourself going every week and get back out there and playing. It was tough for me, obviously, watching the games as well. Like I couldn't do anything to contribute or help. So I do think the last couple of weeks we've put in some good performances. Obviously we got the win against the Allure in the quarter final. We bet Terranure before that. So you know, the string of good plays are coming at the right time, and obviously getting the draw there against Shamrock Rovers at the weekend definitely boosted morale going into this weekend. There's a lovely little buzz around the place in the Showgrounds throughout training the last few nights.
Without giving away any team tactics, what will the approach be for you and your teammates on Sunday? Is it about containing a very talented Athlone Town side and then see can you frustrate and ultimately upset them?
Yeah, well, obviously Athlone are top of the table for a reason, and unfortunately we're at the other end, down the bottom. So firstly, we'll give them the respect that they deserve, and for us it's about hard work. We have to outplay them in that field firstly for us. That's our ground, that's our basics as us for Sligo Rovers. Our hard work is the best thing that we have as a team, so we need to get that on point on Sunday against Athlone. We need to be the harder working team on the day. And obviously, as you said, frustrate them as well. Try and pinpoint areas where we can frustrate them, and then areas where we're strong, and look to play on them cards more so than anything else.
To finish, I look at the Sligo Rovers squad on paper and I say to myself, this looks a decent team. Now, I know you've lost key players, Emma Doherty to Galway, Yvonne Hedigan's attempt at return didn't work out injury-wise, she's been plagued, and Zoe and Kelly going back up north, etc. Jodie Lockery doing the cruciate. But it looks a young, exciting selection of players. Is it just about patience and time with this current squad, or what's your read on it as someone who has been around there for a good few seasons now?
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. It is a young squad. If you look at us compared to other teams in the league, we're definitely one of the youngest squad. But also, as you mentioned there, we lost five key players for us this season, all who were in their mid-20s and who have lots of experience throughout the Irish League and playing up north and also international call-ups. So losing five key players in one season is going to be tough for any team, like any team at all in the league. So for us, we do have a really young squad. It's about patience, as you said. It's about working on our positives, working on our strong points, and just see what happens on Sunday. But for now, it's definitely patience. It's a building team all the time. It's obviously our third year in the league. Would we have liked to have been much further up the table? Absolutely. Like, if you looked at us at the start of the season on paper, I definitely thought we'd be middle of the table, maybe. That's what I was hoping for in my head, if not higher again. But look, we're in a cup semi-final now on Sunday, and that has definitely kept morale high for the last few weeks. And obviously, if you get a win on Sunday, you have a big 4 weeks ahead of you before the final.
To finish, you played in an FAI Cup final once upon a time. What would it mean to play in one with Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, it would obviously mean everything, playing with your hometown in a cup final. I was lucky enough to play in a few with Castlebar and Wexford Utes, and got to win it as well in the Viva. So it's obviously in Tallaght Stadium now, which is also huge. Of course, where we played Shamrock Rovers last Saturday, so we know what the pitch is like. But it would be massive for me, for all the Sligo girls, for everyone on the team, and for the club as well. It would be just a great lift for the club, especially after a season that has really not gone to plan for us, I suppose, in terms of where we are in the table. It would be huge for us to get to a cup final. So fingers crossed everything works out for us on Sunday.
Right, this is Sligo Rovers manager Tommy Hewitt. And Tommy, well, let's talk about this Sunday first of all. For the second season in a row, Rovers are in the last four of the cup, and however you slice that, that's quite the occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you alluded to last year, the semi-final as well, that would have been new to them, and up against the same opponents in Athlone. And this year, I suppose you couldn't write it, like, it's scripted. Obviously, my old club coming into a semi-final, a lot of girls would have played in the semi-final, so you'd imagine it'd be a great experience. But they'd be gaining and learning from that experience. But it's going to be a fantastic occasion here on Sunday, so yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
You probably signed and nurtured some of the players you'll be playing against. Is that a strange feeling, being on the touchline of the opponents?
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, I won't lie, I'm only human, because I had that kind of emotional attachment with the club, and I had it with them players. 90% of them would have been players that I brought through and brought into Athlone ladies team. So yeah, but we've played them twice already this season, so them kind of emotions are gone. My focus now is on trying to beat them on Sunday.
Well, let's talk about the team you're managing currently, Sligo Rovers. When we look at the records to date, Tommy, we see Sligo Rovers at the foot of the Premier Division table, can't buy a win for love nor money, just three draws, and yet here they are in the last four of the Premier Cup competition. How has that happened?
Yeah, I suppose with a big intake of breath there. Look, the season hasn't gone the way I would have liked it in terms of results, but performances have been very, very good without getting the rub of the green at times. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, injuries and all that or losing players, but that is the reality because we're such a young squad. You know, some games we were unlucky and we probably could have got that result, but you know, I think you said with three, we've actually four draws, and I think that's important because of last weekend was massively important. But in terms of how we get to the cup semi-final, the team that we played in the first round up here in Sligo, and we beat them, and then great performance against the LR. So it's really only two games we played, and I always say, I think it was Riley Collins, I said, you don't have to be a great team to get, you know, to win a cup, you just have to be a lucky team. And you know, we certainly have got that in the last two cup games.
You haven't had much luck this season in terms of the players who you've lost out. Jodie Lockery did her cruciate. Yvonne Hedigan has had a well-publicised injury. She tried to come back, it didn't work out. Galway United came in for one of your best finishers, Emma Doherty. You know, this is part of being a manager. This is part of League of Ireland life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and you know, one thing I've learned this year is if you're trying to convince players to stay here, well, then you're probably better off letting them go. And look, Emma, in fairness to her, was a massive servant for Sligo for 2 years. And I suppose when I spoke to her initially, she was really kind of hesitant. She wanted to go. She wanted to make that move. And, you know, best of luck to Emma. And that's the way it is. You're bottom of the table. She didn't probably see that she was going to progress her career with us. Yes, look, Yvonne as well. The same thing with Yvonne. And we obviously lost the two girls that went back up the north, Kelly and Zoe, which were two big blows for us as well. But I did allude to it during the year that them girls really were injured for the best part of the year anyway. And it's not, I'm not saying absolutely if we have them in our team, they're way better. But the big thing for me was losing Emma Hansberry, who has that experience, the knowledge of the league, and has won things with Wexford, you know, got the cup finals with Castlebar and Wexford. We've only seen it over the last number of weeks when Emma's come back in around the place training and playing, how steady we've got, and you know, so that's a big plus, but it was also a big blow. And at the time, I didn't really think it was going to be as big a blow as it was. But
well, on that point, I think Emma Hansberry's first start since July was last weekend against Shamrock Rovers, and you go to Tala and draw 1-1. You can't beat experience.
Listen, definitely in the women's league, and this, like, experience is so crucial. Speaking to all the other managers, I know myself from the Athlone time, we got in a few experienced players to help that team. Yeah, you're right. It's probably no coincidence that we did get that draw, and Emma played, I think it was 70 minutes, which was fantastic, and hopefully she'll play a big part here on Sunday.
And is that all you're missing on one level, Tommy? Because this is a very young, exciting Sligo Rovers team. Anna McDaniel is a real talent in so many sporting codes. You've got Kiva Flynn there, the Cara Kings, and there's five or six others you could probably mention to me. If you could supplant that with one or two or three experienced heads who can stay fit, is that the missing ingredient?
Absolutely. That's like you hit the nail on the head. That's, our league is all about blending the youth with the experience. Once you have them experience, because in fairness to these young players up here, and that's one thing I've said, I think I said in an interview there during the week, we'd probably have the best under 19 team in the country, but they're all playing senior football, which is great for the club and it's great for the future of the club. But without them experienced players, they probably won't just get to that next level in terms of a team. As individuals, they will, but as a team, they need that experience, and it's vital. And look, the club know that, I know that, and I don't want to start blowing my own trumpet. I've been in this situation and I've done it and I know what it takes, but it also, I'm a realist as well, and I understand that a lot of other stuff can you know, really hinder that.
Athlone Town are the cup holders. They are league contenders at the moment. On paper, everything points to a win for the visitors on Sunday, but this is, as you alluded to earlier, cup football, and there is that unpredictability factor. How can Sligo Rovers harness that this weekend?
Yeah, look, no, again, I said I'm a realist. Athlone are a better team than us. They're where they are because they're a better team than everybody in the league. Look, we'll have to create history on two fronts. First of all, we have to beat Athlone for the first time in Sligo Rovers women's history, senior level. And secondly, to get to a final. So that's two pieces of history we have to create here on Sunday. And the girls are aware of that. And the big thing for me as a manager through the season, we haven't put back-to-back performances, good performances together, which is probably the most disappointing thing when I really look back on the season. You know, we went to Shelburne first game of the season, drew nil all, and everybody then was expecting. We played Galway, which we did play well against Galway, but we didn't get any wins. So that's the challenge I've set the girls this weekend. I don't want us to come off that pitch on Sunday with any regrets. If Athlone beat us, I want them to come up here and earn it. And if we beat Athlone, well, then we've certainly earned it.
Tommy Hewitt, Sligo Rovers women's manager, speaking to Ocean FM Sport ahead of Sunday's Sports Direct FAI Cup semi-final, which will be live in full here on Ocean FM. We're bringing our Sunday programme live from the showgrounds this Sunday, on air from 25 past one, and the semi-final kicks off at 3 p.m. and you can listen to it live here on Ocean FM Sport. The other semi is on Saturday, Shelburne hosting Cork City at Talca Park at 2 p.m.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Let's bring you up to date on the GAA managerial news and activity today and this evening locally. Tony McEntee confirmed as staying on as Sligo senior Gaelic football manager for two more years. The Cross McGlen native has already completed 4 years in charge of the Yates County, during which time he led the team to a Division 4 league title in 2023 and two Tailteann Cup semi-finals in 22 and this year. Sligo consolidating their position in Division 3 of the National League this season and will be looking to push towards promotion perhaps in the new year. McEntee staying on, that news confirmed this afternoon. He's indicated there will be changes to the backroom team for 2025. Details on that will come anon. Carlow native Stephen Scheel has been reappointed as Sligo's senior hurling manager for next year, and the other main county managerial appointments remain unchanged. Kerry's Paul Henry staying on as Sligo under 20 football manager for next season. Barry Keenan remains on as county under 20 hurling boss for 2025. And tonight, news that Monaghan have appointed Athnamullen native Gabriel Bannigan as the county's new senior football manager. I'll have to ask Aidan McConnell about him. He succeeds Vinnie Corey, who stood down after this year's championship. Bannigan was part of Vinnie Corey's Bannigan team, backroom team. And Bannigan is bringing in some interesting names to his management setup, including the recently departed Leitrim senior football manager, Andy Mourne. Mourne is part of the new Monaghan managerial setup tonight. He had been linked with a possible return to his native Mayo under Kevin McStay. He had also been linked in recent weeks with a possible gig in Westmeath or Meath. But Andy Mourne is part of the new Monaghan management team. So he'll be getting a sense of the Ulster Championship in 2025. Also in there, some household Farney names: Dermot McArdle, Damien Freeman, and John McElhome also appointed as well. So that's the new Monaghan managerial team for 2025. Well, there was a special event on Monday of this week in City Hall in Sligo Town as Sligo County Council lauded its Paris Olympians and Paralympians who performed with such distinction at the recent Paris Games. In the hall on Monday were Olympic sprinters Chris O'Donnell and Lauren Cadden, boxer Dean Clancy, and Olympic paracyclist Martin Gordon. Sligo's Olympic bronze medalist in the pool, Mona McSharry, wasn't there in person as she's currently overseas travelling, but she was represented by her parents, Viola and Aidan. We spoke to some of our Olympic and Paralympic heroes in City Hall on Monday, beginning with sprinter Lauren Cadden.
It can be a little bit daunting and a little bit overwhelming, but it's amazing. Like, the support in Sligo has been insane. We've had homecomings, we've had today, we were actually all in the hospital earlier visiting some kids, and the reception we got in there, I don't think any of us expected it. Like, the hallways were full with staff and with people that work in the hospital, and everyone was clapping. It was amazing. But no, I don't think I'll ever say I get sick of things like this.
I want to ask you about the Sligo University Hospital in just a moment, because you had a lovely afternoon up there. But Chris O'Donnell, you've had a couple of these occasions, but they are special.
Yeah, like, you can't take them for granted, because, you know, you never know when the last one is going to be. So it's our job, I suppose, to keep having more of them and keep having more success. So that's putting a bit of pressure on us, but that's what we want to do.
And Dean Clancy, you've got the support of not one but two counties, because Leitrim brethren have been cheering for you all summer long as well. That's nice support to have.
Yeah, the support in Sligo and Leitrim has been amazing, especially when my club is the Man of Hamilton. Especially today's been fantastic, you know, with the civic reception, all of us here. You know, it takes a lot of work to get to where we are, and even to reach Olympic Games, is, regardless of results, is a massive achievement in itself. And I think it's great that we're all getting recognition, and I'm definitely not getting sick of it, I suppose, yet, because, you know, you never know when it's going to be last, as Chris said. You know, we got to just keep working hard, and success will come.
A serious question to put to the three of you, because this is a lovely high to have, and you've had a few of them. You had one in Dromard when you came home, Chris in Grange, etc. But after big events like this, there has to be a natural low when the lights are switched off and the music dies for a few weeks. Has that been hard to readjust since you've come back from Paris?
It has been a little bit. Like, before I went over to Paris, people were telling us that there's a post-Olympic depression, and I was kind of like, oh, I couldn't imagine that, but there definitely was. I suppose, in some sense, when you're over in Paris and you're in the Olympic Village, you're kind of away from reality. It's like you're in your own little bubble. So coming home from that, it's like, oh, it's over now. You know, as the two boys have said, we've worked so hard to get there. And then when it's over, it's like, oh, it's kind of move on to the next goal or whatever. But look, that low, I think these highs, like these days like today, definitely overshadow that low. But yeah, there definitely was a bit of a low to it, yeah.
And I know, Chris O'Donnell, it's nice to have a switch off, and you're starting one right now.
I'd echo what Lauren said, and I kept training there for another month, so it's difficult as well when you come back and if you go back into training, but the pressure was off a little bit, but and I still had a couple of things that I wanted to do in the rest of the season, so that's how I kind of kept going. But now, definitely I need to switch off, and like I said, the last month has definitely been crazy, and it's not been easy. Like, all of this is really good, but it's also hard when you are coming off such a high. I had one as well at Europeans earlier in the year, and I found that difficult as well to come back from. But it's all kind of learning curves as well. So next time, I'll know what to expect.
You're a European gold medalist, we should remind ourselves as well. What is next then for you guys, apart from the rest, apart from the switch off? Dean, I don't know if you've thought about your next fight, your next step. What do you think that might be, or do you have any idea yet?
I came back training this week. I had a little bit of a break off. I was dying to get back to the gym, but I knew I needed the break for the body and mentally as well. But coming back training now this week has been great, and I'm not as unfit as I thought it would be. You know, I'm still sharp on the pads. Even Dad was saying it, but for me, I think just looking at probably nationals in November, get a few fights under my belt to finish off the year. And World Championships after Christmas, and the Stranger Box Cup after Christmas as well. So there are little things that I'd be looking forward to, and chipping away, you know, working towards, and something, a target to look forward to.
And Lauren, I know you were part of a couple of relay squads, and I'm sure there was a tinge of disappointment you weren't on the running track in Paris just to show what you could do. And they are the small margin. That's just the nature of team selection. But I know you feel you've more to offer.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, look, I'll never shy away from the fact that of saying that I was very disappointed. Like, I was gutted. I was in the shape of my life. I was running times that I think I was surprising Dermot on camp before we went into the village. So I definitely knew I was in the shape of my life, and I know if I'd been given that opportunity, I would have showed it. But look, there's going to be disappointment in every area of life, and unfortunately, I was on that end today, or this time round. Like, but I think it's definitely going to fuel me, and it's not going to break me. It's going to make me in these next few months, and it's going to shape me into the athlete that I'll be in the future. So yeah.
We're running over time with my sports bulletin, but I'd be forgiven for running over time because we have to talk to this next man who's just joined us. He's been in demand, and that's Sligo's paracyclist, Martin Gordon, fifth in his second consecutive Paralympic Games in Paris. And I gather, Martin, you were the star of the show at Sligo University Hospital this afternoon. Tell us about your visit with Chris, with Lauren, and with Dean this afternoon.
I was not the star of the show. Juno, the dog, was the star of the show. I was only there to facilitate her.
Very good. Juno, of course, is your guide dog who's here with us this evening. What has this day been like for someone like you?
This is incredible. It really is so special to be acknowledged by your hometown. It really is. It's so unique, and it means so, so much to all of us, and we're so privileged.
And it's probably a rarity that you guys get to be in the same room together. Because you're moving in different circles, your events, you don't always get a chance to actually meet your fellow Olympic Sligonians.
No, the first time I met Dean was during the summer. He was coming out of the heat chamber as I was going into the heat chamber. And I thought, that's a Sligo accent over there. It must be Dean Clancy. I better go say hello.
I remember going up to the institute when I first went in, like when I was maybe 16, 17, and like 2018, 2019 I would have been. And I remember seeing himself on the dog, and I never even realised until this year that he only lived about a kilometre down the road, not less, in his way. Like, it's mad.
One thought finally, guys. I know you didn't come home with medals per se, but there may never be a time again when we'll have five Olympians and Paralympians from Sligo Town who were on the same Ireland team at the same time. I think we'd all privately think we'd like to think it'll happen again because the talent base is good, but it is a rarity.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, definitely. And like, it was such an experience to share with people that, you know, I've known Dean for a few years, I've known Chris since I started training with Dermot. So like, it's so nice to get to experience this with people that are from your hometown. Obviously Sligo is small, you're competing against the bigger counties that have more facilities, but it's so nice that we can come together collectively and put Sligo on the map.
And it's back to Porridge now, Martin Gordon. You weren't tempted to hitch a ride on Mona McSharry's camper van across America, were you?
Herself would have definitely changed the locks. I've been gone long enough.
That's for sure. But it'll be nice to get back to normality in some respects, will it?
Yeah. I've been home now. I'm only a week off the plane. And these guys are back a bit longer than me. So it's just nice to decompress, unwind, eat and drink all the things you're not usually allowed, and just take a breather. It's been a long summer. It's been a long 3 years.
It certainly has.
Straight off Tokyo, right into qualification for Paris, there was no break. So it's been a long period.
And of course, you'll have World Paras potentially in the new year.
Yeah, we have World Champs early quarter one. So yeah, I'll be.
Too many packets of Pringles then, no. Is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, okay. No. Okay.
Martin Gordon, and before that, Lauren Cadden, Dean Clancy, Chris O'Donnell, and with them in spirit, Mona McSharry, Sligo's Olympians and Paralympians, who were the guests at a special civic reception held in City Hall in Sligo earlier this week by Sligo County Council. Well, next to Tour Lestran and Sligo stalwart Stephen Henry drew lots of praise earlier this year for his stewardship of the Sligo minor Gaelic footballers. Blonde, as he's better known in the football community in the Yates County, he works with the Gaelic Players Association by day, where he's their player development manager. This November, Stephen will join about 50 intercounty players on a trip to Kenya to plant some trees with Warriors for Humanity and Self Help Africa. He's fundraising for this trip, and this Saturday on his home patch pitch in South Sligo, Tour Lestran, Stephen's going to be soloing a football all the way to Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, virtually, where one solo will equate to 1 kilometre and the distance is 10,000 kilometres. So he's going to be busy. Here's Stephen to pick up the story.
Going to Kenya this November with Warriors for Humanity and Self Help Africa and the GPA to plant trees. It's the third year they've gone. The goal to plant trees, the aim is to plant 1 million trees in Kenya with Self Help Africa. And we'll also be going around meeting local communities and going to different programs, different initiatives that Self Help Africa has set up across Africa over the last number of years. So it's going to be a great experience to visit a different culture and be part of something that's going to leave a lasting impact on the people out there.
And you're part of a group of about 50 intra-county footballers?
Yeah, so there's 50 plus intra-county footballers, past, present, going over to as part of the journey to plant trees and get involved in the different programs and different initiatives. So yeah, there's a 50 strong cohort going over, so it should be a good mix from across the country and across the board.
And you mentioned this is the third year of this project. We've had other local footballers have gone out on this trip before, so this has become an annual thing, has it?
Yeah, so this is the third year. So the likes of Enn Mulligan from Leitrim would have gone locally, and Pat Balan went last year, and Jackie Mulligan, I think, was the first year from Sligo. So it covers a broad range of counties, former players, current players. So a really good mix of counties and a really good mix of codes as well. So it's a great experience to go on a trip like this with them, but also to do something that's really going to impact families and communities in Kenya.
And as preparation for your trip in November, you're holding a fundraising event this month in your home club, Tour Lestran.
Yeah. So as part of the trip, it's very important to fundraise. So next Saturday, the 21st of September, in my local club in Tour Lestran, I'm going to solo to Nairobi in Kenya and back to Tour Lestran. So it's going to take, I think, about 14,150 kilometres. So every solo is going to represent a kilometre. So I'm going to solo for Self Help Africa to Nairobi next Saturday, the 21st. So looking forward to that.
That's a fair few laps of the Tour Lestran pitch, Stephen.
Well, I had to play to my strength, Austin. I don't think it wasn't I don't think many people would have thought I was going to run it. So I thought, why not play to my strength? So I learned very, very young to the value of being able to play off left and right. So I said, look, I can do that, so I'll do that.
Well, it's a lovely cause to be involved in. And if people would like to make a donation, Stephen, how can they do so?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram page there, so at Self Help Africa, and there's an iDonate page, an iDonate link there. And I'll be posting next week, maybe in preparation for it. And I'll be adding a couple of videos throughout the week and traveling, seeing how I travel next Saturday, all day. So you can follow the story and follow the journey there. But any donation would be greatly appreciated for a very, very worthy cause. The impact and the lasting impact that it'll have on families and communities in Kenya was gone for many years. Like a tree can provide a livelihood for a family in terms of nutrition, in terms of shelter, and it also regenerates the land there. So it really helps. It helps families, helps farmers. And part of what Self-Help Africa do as well is actually train up the farmers so that there's a continuation for many, many years. So it's really good to have to be part of something like that, leaving a lasting impact for families and communities.
Sligo Stephen Henry, who'll be one of about 50 inter-county players heading to Kenya this November for the Self-Help Africa project, planting trees to help locals, and he's doing that soloing fundraiser, going to solo the distance of from Turla Strand to Nairobi and back virtually around the Turla Strand pitch this Saturday. If you'd like to make a contribution, look for Stephen's Instagram Self-Help Africa page or search iDonate online for his page there. From Sligo to Donegal, and as four Masters senior Gaelic footballers prepare for this Sunday's Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Championship quarterfinal against Gidor in Ballybuffet, a game you'll be able to hear live on Ocean from 4:30. Off the field of play, the Donegal Town Club is putting the finishing touches to its Creaslaw to Clubhouse cycle next Sunday week, the 29th. Now, this is the latest fundraiser for Four Masters' big redevelopment project to build new dressing room and gym facilities at its home ground, Tyrconnell Park. Rory O'Donnell will be one of the 51 cyclists on his bike in 10 days' time. He's also chairperson of the Four Masters Club Redevelopment Committee.
We commenced our project fundraising 3 years ago now, last month, and we've been working on it ever since. So we're planning on developing a clubhouse facility on the stand at Tyrconnell Park, and Trevor James, one of our club members, has done the design and the work for planning permission and so on. And since then, we've done three draws to raise some funds towards it. We've worked with the Blue Stack Foundation, who are going to be co-tenants with us in the facility itself, and it'll cater for the teams, the club members, the Blue Stack Foundation and the wider community as well in Donegal Town.
Tyrconnell Park is one of the iconic Gaelic Games venues in the county, Rory, but this project looks like you want to take the venue into the 21st century, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I think any teams that travel to Four Masters to the club, or any person who comes out for an occasion, the one thing we have been lacking over the last few years has been somewhere to host people, or somewhere to, if you're having an underage blitz hurling or Gaelic football, somewhere that you can go and sit down and have a cup of tea. Maybe a sense of club, sense of community has been lacking there. And although we've been doing well in different grades in hurling and ladies football and men's football, we just haven't had that space for people to meet and get together. So that's one of the principal aims we had when we met 4 years ago now in the Bosco Centre, that we decided as a committee that this was our main priority in the club, was to get this space. And we're getting there. We've done a lot of fundraising. We've over 600,000 euro raised to date, and we're waiting anxiously now in the next couple of weeks for the sports capital grant. So we're hoping we get a sizable grant for that to get us up and running.
Very good. You're hoping for good news. Well, let's talk about the latest strand of your own fundraising, which won't have a football or a schlitter in sight, Rory, because Four Masters are getting on their bikes.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to thank Niamh Olton, our neighbours there, for helping us out in this regard. Peter McFarland, who headed up their successful fundraiser, they did the Errigal to home, and they did very well. So Peter, who managed our hurlers to junior success in the recent weeks, met with us and went through the plans that they had, and we've taken them on board, and we're doing the same now. So we have 51 cyclists, and some of them haven't been cyclists in the past, but they're going to be cyclists next weekend. They've been training very hard, working on all aspects of cycling and learning a lot of things very quickly. So we're going to take off from Chrysler on the 29th at 8 a.m. in the morning. I want to thank Lorcan Rorty from Wild Atlantic Camp, who's going to host us in the morning. He's friends with a lot of the cyclists who go up and stay there. So Lorcan has generously opened his facilities for us to take off from there, and then a few challenging hills on the way over Mina Roy, especially heading down towards Fintown into Glenties, Ardrath, and home. Now we're very lucky too that some of the GA clubs, Glenswilly GA, Fintown Health Centre, and Ardrath GA are going to help us break the cycle down into manageable sizes. We can get a cup of tea on the way and then head for home then to Chicago Park, hopefully between 2 and 3 o'clock before dark.
Very good, and good to have the pit stops en route as well. If people would like to make a contribution to the fundraising around this cycle from Chrieslaw to Tyrconnell Park, Rory, how can they do so?
Yeah, they can go on our social media, Four Masters, on Facebook and on Twitter, and all the links are there just to support our cyclists. As I said, there are 51 cyclists, and we've done really well so far, but we obviously want to maximise it now because we're hoping this will be the final fundraiser before work commences on the clubhouse development. So anyone out there who knows anyone or would like to support us, we'd really appreciate your help. If you just go to the Four Masters website or to our social media, you can click on a participant and give them a few euro to spare. Anything would be more than welcome. I'm even doing it myself, so I'll need plenty of sympathy and donations, I'm afraid.
I'm sure you'll have a few helpers along the way, Rory. Finally, I mean, let's assume all goes to plan in terms of the fundraising and the Sports Capital Grant for a moment. Do you have a rough timescale in your heads as to when you'd like to start work? And is there a destination date in the back of your mind?
Yeah, well, I suppose when we initially launched the clubhouse development plan, we said that time that it was going to take us 5 years because we wanted to front load the fundraising so we could match the grants which we hadn't applied for at that stage. So the business community in Donegal Town, we've got over 25 business sponsors who have been front loading their sponsorship on 5 year deals, which we really appreciate. And then our draws, our fundraising from our local community and our members have got us to the point now where after our cycle, we're hoping to have nearly €700,000. So that has been a massive benefit to us. And I really want to say thanks to the local business community for getting on board and having the faith in us to do this, especially when there was nothing to see when they signed up. So that was 3 years ago. And now we envisage, if we can get match funding from our grants, we envisage that the 5 years will be a good time frame for us to be up and running and the door to open at our clubhouse development. So we're hoping in the next year and a half, with after tender process and construction, that we'd be able to complete it within the next year and three quarters, 2 years.
That's Rory O'Donnell on Four Masters Big Plans. And the Four Masters Peloton on Sunday week will also include club chairperson Pádraig Harvey, former county footballer Barry Dunyan and Emlyn Hughes. You'll find their fundraising page online across the various Four Masters online platforms. Before we finish tonight, Colosh the Column Kill in Ballyshannon is going to be a hive of Olympic activity tomorrow, or rather mini-Olympic activity, because pupils from 9 primary schools in the Ballyshannon catchment area will visit Colosh the Column Kill to sample some sports introduced this week by visiting Erasmus students from Slovakia, France, Greece and Italy. Those students are in turn getting the chance to try Gaelic sports. The sample sports coming into the school are frisbee, pétanque, that's French boules, and a version of ice hockey. Claire Corley, who is a teacher in Colosh the Column Kill, has been telling me more.
Many Olympic Games at the CCBS are part of a 3-year Erasmus project, which is called Respecto. So in this 3-year project, we're working with schools in Slovakia, Greece, Italy, Guadeloupe, which is the Southern Caribbean, and 2 French schools. So over the 3 years, we are all working together in whole school activities. And it also involves travel opportunities for both our staff and our students. So we've had 1 full year of it so far where our staff travel to Greece and our students have traveled to Slovakia and France. So they stay with host families while they're traveling over there. And then we and had them back to stay with us in March. So it's very important that we have host families for the project to happen. So that's what's happened so far. And now what we have going on in the school this week is called Congress. So Congress is when we have all those partners with us in the school for the week. So we have two teachers from each of the schools and they bring two students with them. Whereas the previous trips are called mobilities and you work with two schools and they bring 10 students each. So at any one time you would only have 20 students and then our own host, which would mean a project of 30 for the week. But Congress is slightly different in that we involve outside agencies and we work with the community. So our idea for the Mini Olympics was to invite fifth and sixth class students from our feeder schools. So we have 9 schools that have signed up. So this week on Tuesday and Thursday, we divided the schools up and we had 170 students in the school over the 2 days. So the idea is that our partners teach the fifth and sixth class one of their sports. So we had the French teaching pétanque, which is the bowls. We had Slovakia wanting to teach ice hockey, but we settled for unihoc. we had Italy, they are teaching, or were teaching frisbee. And then the Greeks were teaching volleyball. And then, of course, we have Brian Roper and Mr. Sylvie Maguire working with the GA skills. So we have hurling and Gaelic football and camogie taking place as well. So they came in on Tuesday to learn the skills and the other half came in on Thursday today. And then on Friday, we have all 170 students come into the school for the Mini Olympic Games.
That's going to be great fun. That is Claire Corley from Coloshta Columkill on the Erasmus Plus Mini Olympics, which 9 primary schools will be sampling in Coloshta Columkill this Friday. We'll publish that full interview online later on tonight. Before we finish, a reminder that we've got a special Final Whistle for you next Thursday. It comes live from St. Mary's GA Clubhouse in Kent Park in Ballydugan, as we will hear the story behind a new book, the first book, and to date the only book to chart the history of women's Gaelic football as the LGFA celebrates its 50th birthday in 2024. It's been written by Sligo woman Hayley Kilgallen, and the programme will be Unladylike, that's the name of the book, and it'll be Unladylike Live from St. Mary's with the story behind that book next Thursday between 8 and 9 o'clock. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcast, just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, different place.